Welcome back to Heja Framtiden, the Swedish podcast on the future. My name is Christian von Essen, and I'm here over link with Anastasia Krivoruško, PhD, co-founder and CEO of something called Melt and Marble. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me to be here.
You are based in Gothenburg, and you work with this very interesting company where you try to produce fat for plant-based products. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. Right now, what we see, like one of the big problems when it comes to plant-based foods is that the fats that are used, plant-based fats, they don't really give the same kind of sensory properties as animal fats, which basically results in a bit of a taste gap between plant-based products and animal-based products. So this is something that we are trying to fix with our technology. We are basically using fermentation to produce animal fats without animals.
Are you using yeast instead, or how does it work?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So we are working with yeasts, and we basically program them to take in sugar and convert them to fats. So it's a similar process to if you think about like brewing, right? So when you're making wine or beer, you're feeding yeast, and yeasts are producing alcohol. In our case, the yeasts are producing fats. And then we are also then going like a couple of steps further and really like programming them to produce very specific types of fat structures. So, you know, fats that look a bit more like animal fats, you know, beef fats, pork fats, etc., compared to like your standard yeast fats.
Yeah, and you've been researching this topic, right, at Chalmers in Gothenburg for a few years now. Is that where you saw that this is actually a viable business model as well that you will bring to the market?
Yeah, so so we had quite a few research projects at Chalmers around production of actually all kinds of different lipids via fermentation, so fats and related compounds. And the thing with lipids is that they are used across all kinds of different sectors. So food, cosmetics, fuels, chemical intermediates, you name it. So we knew that like this technology could be useful for actually like potentially all kinds of different things. But the food applications in plant-based foods is the thing that we landed on eventually, because we started looking into the problem and we realized that right now, like the food industry is really problematic, especially when it comes to animal farming, that there's so many issues with it. So, you know, like greenhouse gas emission, like animal farming is contributing to 15 to 20% of greenhouse gas emissions, deforestation, loss of biodiversity, pollution. That's just like on the environmental side, but then also on the health side, the majority of antibiotics are used in animal farming. So, and this could lead to antibiotic resistance, huge problem. Also, the crowded conditions that animals are being kept in, perfect breeding grounds for future pandemics. And yeah, I don't think we want any more pandemics. So, and just also like the ethical issues, how animals are treated in a lot of factory farms, for example, are really, yeah, it's really, really unfortunate. So it's a huge issue on a lot of different fronts, and it's a very important problem to tackle. And when we kind of started looking into this, we realized that, yeah, there's a lot happening in this field and a lot of innovation, like finding alternative proteins and a lot of technologies. But the fat part is kind of still the missing ingredient. And this is something that we could do really well with our technology. So it kind of felt like a really good match.
Yeah. And many people talk now about lab-grown meat or in vitro meat. Will this be a sort of complement to that to move things forward a bit faster when you collaborate with plant-based foods and add this lab-grown fat instead?
Yeah, absolutely. So like right now, what we see, like the products that are mostly on the market are plant-based, and there is a lot of innovation happening on the lab-grown meat side of things. But of course, that is quite challenging to bring the costs down. So I would say like probably like it will still be a few years until those technologies are at a level where they could be competitive with the meat industry. But that being said, what we are already seeing now more and more are even like hybrid solutions of like combining plant protein and lab-grown animal protein. And this sometimes kind of offers like the best of both worlds. So you can have like something that tastes a bit more meaty, but is a lot cheaper than just growing it completely in the lab. So, yeah, I think like we really need all kinds of solutions in the space. The problem is really big, right? Like the meat industry is huge and it's growing. The demand for various meat products is growing. So we need to find ways to basically tackle this in a good way.
And how does it work? Do you collaborate with the food industry to provide this specific ingredient to their process, or are you just getting started in this development?
So we are pretty early on. We actually just started working on this year. Of course, we're already having a lot of conversations with different companies because, of course, it's really important for us to get input from different companies about what their challenges are, because this also is guiding our own product development.
How can this scale? Do you have like a factory where you will produce this, or will you set up more as you go along?
So we don't have a factory yet. Right now, we are still on the lab scale. But of course, like that is the big vision eventually. So, once we have something that we are very happy with on the lab scale, we will start scaling this up. There is actually already like various infrastructure available for scaling up of fermentation-based processes. So we don't necessarily need to invest in our own infrastructure right away. And probably even when we are first going to production, it's probably also going to be in existing infrastructure. But of course, in the longer term, we will also have to look into investing into our own production infrastructure, because if we really want to scale to a significant level and really like replace the fats that are being used right now to a significant level, we will need to be able to produce a lot of fat.
Does it have any taste, or is it just a texture?
So it's everything, actually. So if you're looking at like what the fat is doing, so of course it is the texture. It's also like how it's melting, for example, that then also contributes to like juiciness as well as flavor release. So sometimes it's also like that you dissolve the flavors in the fat and then those are released when you're eating. But it's also even like the breakdown products of fat that contribute to aroma and flavor as well. So it's really a lot of different things.
Okay, so more of a carrier of the other flavors.
Yeah. So it's both a carrier of other flavors, but it also like contributes to flavors in itself.
How do you view the Swedish food tech ecosystem? Do you think, is this an interesting place to be right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So the nice thing about Sweden is that in general, like the innovation level is very high. It's a society that really cares about sustainability and sustainable solutions. A lot of people also like this kind of plant-based solutions, and like the adoption level of plant-based foods is quite high. So yeah, absolutely, it's a good ecosystem to be in.
I usually ask, what is your best tip for making the world a better place in the future?
I think people should just be kinder to each other. I think like when you're thinking about other people as people, it already makes a big difference in the world. This is just kind of like on a personal level, right? If we're talking about like a grander level, I mean, of course, in general, just supporting innovation, right? And investing in innovation is quite important in solving all of these problems that we are having right now.
Yeah, some kind of courage to take risk.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Do you have any reading or podcast tips?
Yeah, sure. So maybe related to like this topic of animal farming and consuming animals. So the book Eating Animals by Jonathan Safran Foer, it's quite quite illuminating about like the different problems associated with animal farming, at least to me it was. Also, The Uninhabitable Earth by David Wallace Wells. So that book goes into all of the potential bad case scenarios that might happen if we cannot meet our climate targets. And it's terrifying and also fascinating at the same time. And also kind of makes you really want to do something about this.
Yeah, because the trajectory that he illustrates is not something you want to live to see. You want to break it.
No, exactly.
So who do you think I should interview?
If you're thinking about like other companies that are operating in this space in Sweden, I don't know if you're familiar with Mycorrhiza. So this is also a Gothenburg-based company that is, like they are also doing some pretty cool things. And of course, Stockel Dreamery is also a good company. So they are also doing vegan cheese. And they were just announcing recently the new funding round. So probably like, they are pretty good companies that are doing cool things in this space in Sweden.
Yeah, definitely. Great. Thank you so much, Anastasia Kirvushko, for joining Hej Framtiden.
Thank you.
And check out all the other episodes at hejaframtiden.se. We have about 40 of them in English, so you can find something you like for sure. My name is Christian von Essen. Thank you so much for listening.